I was visiting my sister in Peru. She married a Peruvian, and I had gone down for my niece's baptism, as I was the godfather. I was waiting for my flight out of Lima and had the opportunity to do a little of the sightseeing of the Christian Catholic sites there. And at St. Martin de Porres Priory, the monastery there of the Dominicans, which used to be apparently five city blocks worth back in its heyday, they had different artifacts from St. Martin de Porres' life, including something that wasn't of his. There was actually another saint there. There was St. Rose of Lima and St. Turibius, the bishop of the city, but there was even another saint, another Dominican saint, who lived all at the same time. So four saints living together in the city at the same time. I think his name was St. John de Damasio. And he was known as the father of the poor because he would go around gathering the alms and food for the poor. And no matter how much he received that day, he was always able to distribute enough. And so at that Dominican friary, I saw they kept these centuries, years old baskets, because they were the baskets in which this Dominican saint would basically have bread multiplied. He never ran out. And it was said because of it was his generosity and his love of the poor that the Lord continued to give him in order to provide for the poor. Before I left the parishes and came to Stockbridge, someone gave me a nice little book, I think called Mysteries, Marvels, and Miracles of the Saints, and compiles just all the different kinds of miracles that take place in the saints. And so this morning I looked at the multiplication of the bread section, and it was a rather large section, so much so that at the end it just started listing off all different saints, because as it turns out, many saints have all had this kind of multiplication of bread or food in their life when they were in a time of need. And not so much even for themselves, but for those maybe that they were caring for. And I remember reading in the biography of St. John Vianney, one such case, he had an orphanage of girls in the village that he lived in, and there was a very bad harvest, so that people couldn't really donate for this orphanage. So he had a relic of a saint who he also knew. There was a story with that saint who multiplied bread, and he just put it in the last remnants of the grain they had up in the attic of the orphanage, and had all the girls pray, and just left it to the Lord. And sure enough, the next day when the cook tried to open the door, she could barely open the door because the whole attic was just busting at its seams with the grain needed for bread. So much so that people marveled that the main pillar holding up the attic, which was worm-infested, did not collapse. There's many different kinds of stories from the saints that include that, and even ones that aren't necessarily saints. The Protestant Corrie ten Boom, she related how when she was in the concentration camp during World War II, she snuck in a bottle of liquid vitamins, which is very much needed when you're being starved. She said she was able to continually every night give a spoonful to each woman in her barrack, and it never kept running out. And after 6 or 8 weeks, someone came and brought a bag of vitamins, snuck it out from a hospital, and that liquid bottle finally ran out. It was no longer needed, the miracle there. And then the bag of vitamin, too, she said, she continually to just kept passing it out generously, never trying to reserve, until one day it did seem kind of low, and someone asked for the bag, and she was kind of watching out for her sister and said, "Sorry, there's no more," because in her mind she's thinking this last bit is reserved for her sister. And she realized, though, in that moment, she should have just been more generous. She should have been more trusting. And in confirmation of that, someone else came with another bag of vitamins that was given to them in the hospital, something very rare and needed. So the Lord watches out for us. He wants us to be fed. He wants us to be nourished. But what we hear in the gospel today, you know, this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with the multiplication of the bread and fish, this is all a prelude to the rest of the chapter of John 6. That Jesus is showing there's something more important than just being fed physically. There's something more important than being nourished physically, and that is the nourishment our soul needs. And he provides a greater miracle in order to make sure we're fed spiritually, and that is the miracle of the Eucharist. This foreshadows then the institution of the Eucharist. One of the first miracles we hear of in John's gospel is the changing of water into wine. So we know that it is possible for one substance to change into another substance, water into wine. And now we see here that it can also be multiplied so that all can be fed. Jesus points to these miracles of bread and water and wine in order to foreshadow the Eucharist, which is ultimately what is so important. In the Eucharist is our souls fed. You know, as we're going to hear in the continuation of this Gospel of John, chapter 6, Jesus will say, you know, "Your ancestors ate manna in the desert and died. But behold, I give you the true bread from heaven, which if you eat, you will live forever." This is a great miracle, but how thankful are we for it? Because this word, when Jesus looks up and gives thanks, it's that Greek word there, which we get the word Eucharist from. Eucharist means thanksgiving. And so we can never take for granted the great miracle that takes place at every Mass. Every single day, Jesus gives us himself to eat. He fulfills that petition in the Our Father, "Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our supernatural bread." He fulfills that every day in the Eucharist. And that's why even if we can't get to Mass to receive the Lord sacramentally, it's always a good practice, the saints say, to make an act of spiritual communion, to desire the Eucharist, even if we can't receive it sacramentally. And we hear in the gospel today the different elements of receiving the Eucharist being foreshadowed. Jesus says, "Have the people recline." So traditionally in the West, there was always the altar rail, which kind of turned into a communion rail. And the people would recline. And it was kind of like the people's altar, in which they reclined just like the apostles were reclining at the table at the Last Supper, when Jesus fed the apostles with his flesh and blood. And reclining then, it's a form of humility to lower ourselves so that we can receive something, someone greater. And it's a form of resting, right? You only kind of sit down or lay down. You only kind of recline, right, when you want to rest. You know, Americans today with the lazy boys, we know how to rest, maybe a little bit too much. But Jesus wants to remind us to rest in him. In Holy Communion, Jesus comes to rest in our hearts so that we can rest in him, rest in God. For resting in God is our purpose. And of course, what do we hear? We also hear Jesus say, gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted. So it's not like in some Protestant churches in which the Eucharist is not reserved, because we do believe even after Mass, the Eucharist remains. Jesus is still present there in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so traditionally, it was first reserved so that the sick can receive the leftovers from that Mass. But then as time and the church developed, it was also reserved for adoration. The fragments left over were there to be adored, because we know Jesus is still with us. Again, we can even come recline, even if we already received them that day or not. We can always go to a Catholic church and recline, because the fragments left over from that Eucharist are still there. Jesus is waiting for you to come and pay him a little visit. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and rest, come recline before the Lord in the Eucharist. King Saint Louis of France once was told of a Eucharistic miracle which had taken place. And you know what his response was when the others in his court wanted to go see the miracle take place at the church? He said, what do I need to go see it for? I already believe. The miracles that the crowds were seeking from Jesus, Jesus only gave it to them because they don't believe, because they're looking for signs. We, on the other hand, if we have the gift of faith, we don't need these miracles to help prove. Now, the Lord will give it to us to maybe affirm our faith, strengthen our faith when needed, but ultimately, it's not actually essential. It's not necessary. And that is why Jesus comes in a very unspectacular way. You know, the priest simply says the words of consecration, and there's no matching kind of sound or sight to go with it other than our faith. It rather looks just still like a piece of bread, but our faith is what matters. And nonetheless, at every Mass, there is that miracle taking place. Imagine if the world just recognized the great miracle that takes place in a Catholic church every day at Mass. You know, we just had the solar eclipse this past Monday, and after I dropped off the Archbishop at the airport, I was able to meet up with my dad, driving up a couple hours north in New York, and see the total solar eclipse. And it was, I will admit, for the 3.5 minutes or 4 minutes of, you know, eclipse there, I will admit it was worth the hours of driving, because on the way back, there was pretty heavy traffic on the highway. It kind of seemed like there was an evacuation from some kind of natural disaster. And that was, you know, all for just 3 minutes of something spectacular taking place in the sky. Not really even a miracle, right? But where are the people, where are the crowds coming to take place to come see Jesus, to come see God in under the substance of bread? Jesus has given us a great gift, and today we remember then to always give thanks, because that is what Eucharist means. When we worship at Mass, it's not about us receiving, it's about us giving thanks to God for everything good in our life, and giving thanks that he nourishes us with his very self. He gives us his own body so that we can become like him. You know, God became man so that we might become like God. And you know, there's that saying, you are what you eat. And so the more we consume Christ, the more we are conformed to him, the more then we are like scattered fragments of grain made one body. And for this is what we are ultimately so thankful for, that not only do we receive what we need in this life, we receive the great gift of becoming one with the body of Christ, becoming one with God. For that is the promise he gives us for those who receive him.
Hello, I'm Father Thaddeus Langton of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, and I'm excited to let you know about my new podcast with Father Timothy Childers called Keeping It Marian. To access the podcast, simply visit divinemercyplus.org or search Keeping It Marian on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on whatever podcast platform you prefer. I want to share with you the riches of the charism of the Marian Fathers, which is the mystery of the Immaculate Conception, how it touches our lives as consecrated priests and religious, and how this mystery can bear fruit in your life, especially by keeping the Word of God and pondering it in our hearts in imitation of our Blessed Mother. I hope you'll join us. Again, it's called Keeping It Marian. Thank you, and God bless you.
Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit divinemercyplus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's divinemercyplus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.